Welcome, everybody, to the fourth episode of Copy Overflow. I'm Gui.
And I'm Long.
And I'm Afif.
And we are your hosts for today. So, Afif, when will dinner be ready?
No estimates.
Sorry, that's the best I could come up.
That's the best pun. Oh my god. Not a good start for 2021.
Come on!
Yeah, it's just 2020 part 2.
No! Don't jinx it! To be fair, there are a lot of good things happening already.
That's true.
I mean, by the time this episode comes out, I think hopefully there were still good things happening, right? Because there is a time period between the recording and when the next episode comes out. So a lot of things may change, but hopefully not for the worse. But yes, Afif, you kind of brought this topic up. Maybe you want to start off.
Today, our topic is going to be about no estimates and estimation in general, I guess. And the reason I brought it up is because our team at work is kind of having this love-hate relationship with estimations. So we have been on and off doing it and not doing it. I think earlier last year, we were doing it. And then we stopped because we felt like it wasn't really providing much accurate information or value. And then we started doing it again late last year, I think. And the reason why was because the product managers wanted to have some sort of estimations and trying to do their roadmap planning for the whole quarter or the whole year or the whole financial year, something like that. Just wanted to know, what do you guys think about it, and like how is it implemented in your team, or your company?
Before we kind of continue on, I want to like pull this back a bit. So, you know what? Actually, maybe I shouldn't do that right now. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was the most used estimate method. Like when you talk about estimations, a lot of times would be either time-based or sometimes would be like a point-based system, like user story points. I kind of wanted to talk about the origins of user stories as a bit before we go into like all this estimation as well. Because I was reading a bit on where did stories as a term actually came from. Do any one of you want to guess where it actually came from? Where did stories as a term that we use now originated from?
Instagram? No, just kidding.
Good one though. I'll give you that.
So tell your product manager to use Instagram from now on. No more like card-based like Jira or Trello. Use Instagram.
And then they all disappear after one day or something.
Yes.
Do your feature description in 15 seconds or less. But on a more serious note.
Is it when writer write a story, they have to estimate how many words?
Oh, no, actually, I'm not going that far. I'm talking more like the term user stories and stories in general in software development.
Not entirely sure, to be honest.
I'm not sure as well.
It actually came from extreme programming, the term story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if for those of you who don't know, extreme programming is kind of like a method started up by like Ken Beck and those few who started with the Agile Manifesto. So during the early 2000s, they started this method called extreme programming. So the reason why they used this term stories, or why they started to use this term more, was because they feel that requirements as a term was misleading. A lot of people would take requirements, this term, this word, to mean that something is mandatory, something is obligatory, right? Something you cannot change. But as we know, software development is a very fluid practice, right? A lot of things may change, how we perceive what the user would do, how we want the user to interact with would change, right? So they felt like stories was a more appropriate term to use.
They use the term story because it changes.
Not exactly, but more like requirements wasn't a good term to use. So they decided to use stories.
Right. Stories change, but requirements don't. So they use stories.
Yeah, because a lot of people felt that requirement was very tied to, oh, this is a non-changeable thing anymore. Like a requirement is a non-mutable non-mutable thing. So one of the reasons why I wanted to break this up is because in Extreme Programming, the book, Kenbeck and Cynthia Andres actually published two editions of the book. I only read the second edition, and in the second edition, they sort of mentioned about estimation as part of this section about stories. One sentence that kind of intrigued me, and I quote, right, is that early estimation is a key difference between stories and other requirements practice. Estimation gives business and technical different perspective to interact. You want to know the cost of the feature, and then from there, you can know how to expand, reduce, add more scope, all that kind of thing. So this, when I read this, it's like, okay, it felt like estimates is kind of a key, at least in extreme programming perspective, a key input in planning. So which is why, one of the reasons why I led on with this question. What I mentioned earlier, right, one of the methods besides using time-based estimations is we tend to go with some sort of point, user story point estimation. And I was curious on where that whole thing came from. Interestingly enough, in extreme programming, they talk about stories, they talk about estimation, but they never talk about what is the estimation method to use. The example in the book itself gave like, okay, this story is a sample story card has 8 hours on it, but they never talk about story points.
Does that 8 hours mean literally 8 hours, or is that some sort of like indication of like in relation to other stories?
The book itself doesn't talk about estimation methodology
right.
in much depth. So it doesn't mention like actually working on it 8 hours or 8 hours to from start to delivered.
Okay.
Which brings on this kind of weight I feel attached to estimate as a term. Different people, different parties would see this word estimate as different, right? For example, you mentioned that the product managers wanted to know for their planning. Like product managers use it for planning, but are they going to use it as a, will they treat it as a contract for developers to like, you must develop this within this amount of time? Or would developers see it as, I estimate it to be X point or X long, and I'm going to buffer more because I felt that it's going to be used as a measurement on my performance?
I think we are kind of doing it right now because of that. So when we do grooming, we kind of like, oh, okay, so this is kind of going to take around 2-3 days, and then we're just going to put it as 1 week instead. Kind of like to buffer. It feels like sometimes it is for matching expectations between different parties, basically.
I feel like that way of putting in hours toward the task, there's always this issue as a team of, you know, more than one people, that different team members might take different hours time to complete the task. Like someone who's very senior, has all the contacts, might be able to complete one task with 4 hours, but someone new that just came in might need 6 hours for the exact same task, because the new company to pick up all these contacts that was maybe not documented or somewhere. But we always commit to this story as a team. In that scenario, would you like always use the lowest denominators? Do you estimate all the tasks based on like someone new just came in, or do you based on like average? So it's kind of difficult to always keep that accurate. I think that's always the problem for me when we put an hour to a task.
That's the dirty term you used earlier, right? You said commit. Is this estimation a commitment of delivery? Or is it purely something used for the team to discuss on complexity and understand, is it something we want to pick up now because of a complexity? In a lot of literature, they talk about estimation as a way to identify costs and opportunity. Right, for example, in the extreme programming book, he talked about, do you want a Ferrari or a minivan? Without any context, right? Do you want a Ferrari or a minivan? Of course, we want a Ferrari, right? It's a fancy car compared to a minivan. But when you add like a cost factor into it, okay, a Ferrari costs like $1 million and a minivan is like $10,000, then it would be different. Then the question would be, why do we need a Ferrari? Why do we need a minivan? Then I feel that estimation is to drive this discussion, rather than it being a comparison or measurement of performance. So I'll go right out the limb, say that I don't like estimations of any sort. I want to say I don't quite agree with estimations being the sole method, unless it's being used as a complexity discussion.
What I feel is this always boils down to the team maturity. I feel like a mature team where we're already familiar with what we do, usually estimate, just from my observation, it doesn't bring much value. It just wastes our time. But whenever you bring in someone new, or the whole team is new, and we're working on a whole new ecosystem platform that we're not familiar with, I think it actually provides some structure for us to break down the things we have to do, try to learn how, or try to gauge how much time we actually need to spend, and then we can like budget our time according to priority accordingly, right? That's something we actually need to pick up as a developer. Regardless, this is something we need to commit, so to say, to the product manager or not. That's my view on it. Like, I don't have always hate estimation or always love estimation. I think it's just a tool, right? So as with every tools, use it at appropriate context or situations.
Going back to the commitment thing, right? In case of my team, right, product managers are using it to kind of plan what they're going to do in their roadmaps, like for the whole financial year. So it kind of becomes a commitment in the sense that, oh, they expect this to be something that's probably a two-month effort, for example. And then they're going to place like other epics. So for example, like if a quarter is 3 months, right, and then they're going to do 2 months, one epic, and then the other 1 month, they're going to fit in one more epic that is estimated to be 1 month. It's not within the culture of my team is to, there's this blaming things, but there is going to be some kind of expectations in it, in the sense that we will feel bad if it doesn't go below 2 months, like for the first epic that I was mentioning. So yeah, I mean, it's not like a hard commitment, like we will be punished or something, but then there is some kind of expectation to it. It is not good or it's not bad. It's just probably something that's also good to have. Like, you know, you are trying to deliver value, right? And you want to kind of, like, your customer is also expecting some value to be delivered within like certain period of time. It's just that there is going to be that kind of expectation there.
And to be fair, like as a developer, we always, with or without estimate, we will always need to commit something, right? Else business, in the business sense, if you don't deliver values or you deliver values slower, you will get beaten out by competition. That's just the nature of business.
That's such a perverse thought, right? Like everything is like driven by business. Technically, I'm part of the fintech. Oh, such a dirty word. Fintech.
Fintech is a dirty word now? I didn't know that.
I feel it's a dirty word. I'm in the fintech space now, right? And of course, it's going to be, as all businesses do, there is like a quarterly, yearly plan, right? I'm sure beginning of the year now, beginning of the calendar year, and even like a lot of companies, financial year, they're going to start, okay, we want to do all this thing, and there's this OKRs we need to plan. Oh my God, that term is so overloaded. Let's not go there. I can understand from a business perspective, we want to build. We want to have plans on what we want to build this year, what activities we want to engage in this year. Because fundamentally, there's this term I picked up, right? In the end, this world is run by annual budgets. That's how it is, right? So that thinking cascades down to a lot of planning we do because of like how long this will take, how much this will cost. We want to have some measurement to know that are we investing in a good thing? Are we investing at the right time? But the whole reason why I say this thinking is very perverse is because I've seen the total opposite do quite well as well. There are companies out there that just say we will work in chunks of 6 weeks. We don't have backlog. When we do planning, we pick up the most important thing now. And if we can't complete in 6 weeks, we'll just either ship everything we have or we just drop it. But again, it depends on the nature of business. But I feel it can be done. I think it can be done. Like Basecamp is a very it's an example.
I knew it.
If anyone doesn't know, Gray is a fan.
Yes, I am a Basecamp fanboy. Oh my god, it feels so embarrassing admitting it on the podcast.
I actually just bring that up during our presentation time. Like, I think someone brought up Basecamp. I think I say like, yeah, if Gray is here, he would just tell you all about it. Yeah, but I feel like that's one argument, like when you say like everything's run by annual budget. I mean, that's I feel like that's like an operational point of view. Like, if you really want to look at the whole business as a field, like, I feel like I say a lot of like, but you always have to respond to the market as well, regardless of your annual budget.
Isn't that counterintuitive? Like, having an annual roadmap means that you're committing to something annual, and it's sort of counterintuitive to responding to the market.
It's kind of true, yeah, actually.
So, but tying this back to estimates, right? So I think estimates does help in a local optimum sense, where what do we want to work on next? Okay, I think this feature will take 2 months, but the impact is kind of low, so maybe we can be delayed. Or, you know, let's see how we can. Because it takes 2 months, what can we chop out that is good and we can implement in a smaller, you know, continuous delivery style? But I do have an issue with estimates being used in performance-related discussion, especially on a global comparison level. For example, if you're comparing between teams. Is it Scrum? I don't think it's Scrum. No, it's definitely not in the Scrum guide. But I know, like in Jira, they have if you use the Scrum board, there's like a burn down report, and right, if you use story points, there are like velocity reports as well. And I do have an issue where managers use this to compare between teams, because I feel that it's very unfair. Like Long mentioned earlier, right? If it's a mature team, they probably don't need this discussion, and they can deliver very quickly because they are aware of the context and all that sort of thing. But if it's a new team, they probably lag behind. I really do not like all these metrics being pulled into performance discussion of a team or even of an individual engineer.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about estimate, like in the story, the estimate, right? Like, we're not estimating performance.
It's for one, I think we kind of talked about it. I'm just going to slightly summarize, which is, for one, to help engineers discover complexity or to dive deeper into the discussion. Okay, like for example, Long, you mentioned for a newer team, they probably want to have a more in-depth thought about, some engineers think it's this complex, but other engineers think it's not as complex, right? Why do they think that? And I would kind of argue that we probably don't need estimations to have that discussion, although I would agree, estimation is a good tool to use to drive that conversation.
Everything's has a diminishing point. What was it called again? Diminishing values?
Diminishing returns.
Returns, yeah. So, yeah, maybe like when you put it in that way, like a new team always spend their time doing estimate. Maybe if they spend too much time, it reached that diminishing returns point. Yeah, like you say, use it as a tools just to gauge thing. You know, maybe we should just call everything guesstimate. There's no estimate. There's only guesstimate. Everyone just guess. Like, take a guess. Yeah.
Actually, that's what we're doing right now. We're kind of like guesstimating. Yeah, and then padding that. It's very hard to get it accurate. Right now, we are not doing it for... Wait, yeah, we are doing it for stories. And that's what we're talking about, right? We're not talking about other things. I'm just curious, how does your team actually do it? If you guys are doing any estimates. Maybe you guys are the mature teams, I don't know.
I think my team is a mixture. We have quite a lot of newcomers recently. And I mean, we still have old-timer. Is there a term? Newcomer, old-timer?
It is.
Anyway.
Old-timers is a term. That's how you get otai word in Malaysia, right?
Okay, otai, old-timer. Okay. I feel like every time I saw some task being dragged because of that less context, because it's some new territory that we're trying on, or some new joiner come in and have no idea how long this task supposed to take. Let me just think of a quick example. Say you are already new, you saw a story that's adding a button, that's a classic story. Oh, that should be quick. That should be like a 1 or 2 hour work. And then like 1 or 2 days or 1 to 2 weeks later, you find that you're still working on that one freaking button. Then you would think that, is it that I'm doing so bad I can't get a button to work? And or is it that this is the actual usual time that for us to add this button to this particular side of the page or application? And there's no like something for the newcomer to benchmark against if we have never done any estimate. So I always feel like whenever there's someone new, it's good that we use this estimation tool as a tool to sort of pass the knowledge or pass the context, if you will, so that the new joiner will learn more about how this guesstimate works. But I think as a whole, in my team, I think Afif, you're probably aware as well that we don't break down tasks into hours, but we do have sort of an estimate like how many tasks, how many tickets that we usually can close within a week or so. So it's not that micro, but still some form of guesstimate, I guess. But we don't use that as a way to gauge performance, if you will, gauge commitment.
Right. I don't think we are doing it to gauge. I mean, we're using it to gauge performance, like comparing to other teams also. It's just, I think we initiated it again just to help product managers do planning, I would say. With that thought, okay, Gui, I probably have a question to you. If you say that you probably are against all this kind of time estimates also, what would you, if product managers ask for this kind of estimation, what would you suggest to them then? Evaluate what epic to do after one epic is done? Like, you don't actually have like a annual roadmap kind of thing? So basically, they're trying to plan what to fit in into like each quarter. Okay, so like we have 3 months and we want to fit like 2 epics, that's probably 2 months and 1 month, for example, and doing the same for the next 3 quarters, right? So they want to know what to fit in kind of like into the schedule. Like, what would you tell them? It's okay if you want to say like, oh, don't do that or something. Yeah, but I just want your thoughts on it.
My short answer would be, I mean, depending on the organization, if the PMs ask this question, it's pretty much mean that the business and the product mindset is kind of set within that structure already. So the short answer would be, yeah, let's discuss with the engineers what is it you want to build, and we can come up with some sort of like time-based estimates to help you plan your roadmap. That's the easy way out. My longer answer would be, this feels like we are playing Tetris with product. And this happens a lot, right? It's not just with product roadmap, even with engineer workload. If you look at, for example, a Jira bot or whatever management system, as in like whatever work management system you're using, we always try to like, oh, who is free? Let's give them something to do. Or even engineers is like, I'm free, let me pick up a ticket, which kind of loops back to what Long mentioned earlier. Like a newcomer picks up a ticket without much context. I feel there's a lot of context there we could probably break down, maybe for another episode about how hard planning is, right? But I think one way around that is, like for example, Long mentioned using estimates as a tool. For me, it's ultimately, was the team aware there is a lot more complexity in that work than they imagine, and therefore someone new probably would spend a lot more time into it. I think that having that conversation is more crucial. But coming back to the PM question that you asked, right? I mentioned playing Tetris because it's more like fitting here and there. And things change, right? Things change very quickly, regardless whether it's business or geopolitical or whatever. Things change very quickly. I feel sometimes having an annual roadmap is a too far ahead view. Rather saying that, oh, I need to plan all this epic. Maybe, again, I'm saying it because I don't have enough context. That's why I'm saying all this. Like, it's very easy, right? But I know it's very hard, right, for PMs to initiate discussion on, okay, these are the things that I want to build, I want to deliver now. And let's ship that now, right? We can commit to, okay, like, have a honest, transparent conversation with engineers saying, these are the things I want to build. This is the interaction I want to have. Let's build this now. But it's really hard for product managers to do that, right? Because the business or their bosses expect them to, like, tell me what you want to do next year. And it's the same thing with us engineers, right? Like I say, it's the beginning of the calendar year, and I'm finding myself in this position where I have to plan for the next half of the year. What are my OKRs? So that's that whole fun package right there.
I love the way you say OKR. It's so passionate.
Yeah.
My burning passion for OKRs.
Your passion for OKR is definitely not okay. Are you OKR?
Aviv, I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I feel like it's a lot more on the company, the way the company thinks. I definitely don't think it's wrong to look out ahead on what you want to do this year, but I feel maybe having estimates, again, it comes down to the intention of the PM. If they are planning for something the whole year and they require something as fine a detail as time estimates, that might be too much premature planning.
I have something to add on that. Like, this actually reminds me that, for example, the way my team does it, like, we don't break down the task to hours or even days, but we do have like a rough estimate of how many tickets that we can actually close every week. And in a way, I feel like it helps the product PM to guess how many tickets in the backlog that has to be ready for the team to work on next week. For example, it was the end of the year, right? And a product needs to go away for 1 or 2 weeks. Then we look at the estimate like, oh, the team can close about 5 to 6, 10 tickets every week. So we have like about 20 tickets in the backlog that's ready there for them to pick up, and the product can go away. Like, there's no question of the last top 10 tickets. It's fine. Then you guys can just work on it. I think that's, I guess, is one of the benefits of estimate.
I will kind of argue that's not estimate anymore. Right? That's looking at your team's past performance, your team's flow, and saying like, okay, past performance on average is around this. So I assume this flow will continue, and therefore we plan against that flow.
In a way, I feel like that's just a different scale of estimate. We don't estimate by time, we estimate by number of tickets. But yeah, I guess if you talk about like in the sense of if estimate is always about how many hours that we need to commit to a task, then maybe that's not estimate. Just a thought.
Even if it's the number of tickets, right, I think it's still kind of committing to time base, because like, for example, all tickets are not made the same, right? Are not created equal, basically. And some tickets actually will take longer. And if there's one ticket that takes longer, it will actually throw off your weekly estimate because you are not able to complete one of the tickets. So let's say last week you completed 5 tickets, okay? But then this week you got 2 tickets that are a lot more complex. And then you cannot finish it by the week, and then you only get to complete 3 tickets. So that is kind of time commitment as well. Like, even if you put 5 tickets, because you will expect that you can close 5 tickets within a week. So there is kind of commitment to time. And I think all of our discussions here boil down to, we can never get estimates to be accurate estimates, like guesstimates. And that's what causing this problem here. Like even in my team's way of doing things, or my or your team's way of doing things, if it's not accurate, is it worth doing? I would say. Yeah, that was probably my internal fight on it, like, I guess.
I would just bring back this to what I mentioned earlier about team maturity. It boils down to team maturity again. Like, how mature are you at breaking down the tickets? It's not just developer, even like the product. How do you always work closely with the product to help them understand how to break down tickets? And if the product and the engineers are good at breaking down into tickets, they don't always have, like you say, like created equally. But when you work on like a large statistic, right, numbers, I mean, 5 tickets makes you not much. Maybe like, let's say a team is at 10 tickets. I don't know, just a number. And you worked it long enough, you always observe like a standard deviation. From time to time, you get spike here and there, but you can always guesstimate like what are the numbers. And if the product understand, then they would take it as not a commitment, but a tool to help them to know how much work, I guess, or stories they have to be in there. And it's okay, like when there's like escalations coming in, or there's a really complex bug or new requirement coming in that we have to fulfill for the ecosystem or platform, whatever, technologies. But it just like goes back a tools to guesstimate compared to like have nothing for them to work with at all.
Even if we don't have estimates, there are something that we can work on, which is what is the most important thing. I think that's an important metric as well. Even if we don't estimate, right, we just sort the backlog based on what's the most important, right? And it doesn't matter how long it takes. When we release that important thing, it is still going to be valuable. I think that's one dimension to look at.
Kind of lump in with the whole thing we talked about earlier about the NO roadmaps, right? Like, of course, we want to work on the most important thing. And to the PMCV, based on the current paradigm, it's the current roadmap that they set out to do. So that kind of comes down to the business as well, like, you know, telling PMs or product, what's your plan for the year? And that's why they have to come up with that plan. As I said earlier, the world kind of runs on NO budgets. So sometimes the most important thing to do is not related to the business wants.
I feel like that sort of can also put like a product into a difficult situation, like if we have no estimate at all. But I guess it all boils down to the balance. It's always a spectrum, right? I don't know. Is there a spectrum for between estimate everything and don't estimate? Is there a middle point? I don't know.
There's one term I kind of want to talk about, because Afif mentioned the question about, estimates have to be accurate or not, what's the point we do them? But if it's accurate, we don't even need to do estimates already. We just say, this ticket I'm working on, 3 days, confirm, go team.
That's true, yeah.
And I do have, in some situation, I think that maybe outside of like working in a company, working as a team. For this example, I just, not recently, it's been like more than a month, 2 months, that I sort of casually promise to help someone I know on some project, his project, right? Say he's not very familiar with web development. I am, so sort of help with that, like casually promise. And because it's a very casual thing, right? You don't sit down and break down like what are the requirements, the stories. I feel like that's where it hits me the hardest, if you sort of say, about this no estimate. Yeah, there's no estimate, there's no backlog, there's no ticket systems. I just gonna work on it. And initially, it's a casual conversation, right? So like, I also don't say I'm gonna commit to anything. And the person also say, it's not urgent, right? And so what is not urgent? Is it like, can I complete it in 10 years? It's not urgent. so we just go on with that. Like, I just do whenever I have some free time, just work on it a bit. And then like 1 or 2 months, is it? Like, maybe almost 2 months now, I don't know. See, no estimate, right? And
I think there's a difference. Sorry, long to cut you off. But I think there's a difference between estimating how long a work will take and having a deadline.
Then from time to time, I get asked, how long is it going to take to get this to work? There's no deadline, but how long is it going to get to work? Then I will say, like, I have no idea. I can't estimate it. There's no requirement. We didn't sit down and break down requirement. We didn't break down stories. We didn't put hour on the task. So it kind of put us both in a difficult situation. Like, I have no idea how long I need to commit to spend my time on this project. And I have the other guy has no idea how, when this thing gonna be get done and get live, even though it's not urgent. Like I said, it could be next decade. I don't know. Yeah. Just a funny thought, like, related to outside of the whole company working context.
Yeah. And that's kind of does highlight one of the, I would say, flaw of estimates as well. Like, a lot of times we estimate based on the current knowledge we know, right? And a lot of times when we actually start working on that piece of work, then we realize, oh, it's actually a lot more complex because I need DEF. Or it could end up the other side of the spectrum where it's a lot more simple because I don't need to do X, Y, Z. That kind of jumps back to the conversation on number of tickets and using that as flow. I think having empirical measurements on how much work can the team take on is a different conversation from estimating how long a work would take to complete. I will agree that a mature team that has a very good domain knowledge, understanding, and good practices would estimate better. But it doesn't necessarily mean the estimate is of course accurate, right? It's just because the team is very aware of their practices. For example, if there's a team that, let's say even they are a mature team, but every day they have to firefight and, you know, there are tons of bugs they need to fix, and every time everything is very push-based. Oh, our ecosystem needs us to upgrade to this thing. We have to do it now or not. We lose all our status, yada, yada, yada. That would cause them to think about estimates in a more careful manner. And like Afif said, right, maybe they would just buffer them wrong. And then the PMs were like, how come this takes so long? And then they will ask the EMs and, oh, let's not jump into that conversation. We talked about estimate in a lot of different manners. From one is like, okay, how would a piece of work be estimated, to how PMs would need some sort of information to plan for their annual roadmaps, to like long mentioning the thin line between deadlines and having estimates. But I kind of want to, you know, take this opportunity to, as we wrap up, like, each of you maybe can summarize what you think about estimates and your experience with it. Afif, since you brought the topic up, does this whole conversation actually was any benefit to you, or we just like...
It does. I think I probably have new dimensions, I would say, to look at. Like, the maturity of a team, for example, is one aspect that we probably should look into a bit more. And just to probably go a bit deeper, like, not just the team, but all individual team members, like how familiar each individual teams are with the ticket that they're going to take. For example, like, I mean, it's probably specific to my team because our context is a bit broad, like our domain knowledge is a bit broad, and because of like a legacy knowledge is probably not transferred well previously. So it's a bit, yeah, even if like the most senior engineer in the team probably still have some holes that need to fill in terms of domain knowledge. So I think that's probably an important dimension to look at the next time we want to do estimates for each stories. I guess if I want to conclude or summarize, I guess I could probably take what Long said about the spectrum. It's like, it's never about always doing estimate and never doing estimate. It's just trying to find the middle ground is probably the challenge here.
Long, how about you?
That's a similar thought. And like, estimation is a tool and apply it according to context and maturity of the team. And it makes me wonder, like, if there's a model to measure team's maturity about in estimation. Like, you know, like in the world of UX, there's this UX maturity models. Like, how much your organization commit to UX. Like, is there a model to see how much your team commit to estimate? That spectrum, yeah.
Maybe we can start one.
Yeah, right. We can call it LAG model, lag model.
Plus minus 0.5 of standard deviation.
Yeah. As with any tools, apply accordingly and use it as you see fit.
Ultimately, I see estimates as a method to use. I think the most important question to ask is, why is estimation being done? Right? Is it because to fulfill some sort of planning? Or is it that we need to have, the team needs to have a deeper conversation on the complexity of the work or for whatever other reasons? Because, for example, like I mentioned, I definitely do not encourage using estimates in any performance gauging software. Right. So ultimately for me, the biggest question is, why are we doing estimates? What is the purpose and intent we want to get out from doing estimates? I think that's the most important question to ask. Okay, we can call it a wrap. So I think I want to share good news. We are now on all major audio podcast platforms. So we are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify as well as some other smaller audio podcast platform, which I can't remember their names, but yes, we are on all those right now. So if you listen to us, please leave us a review. That will be so good. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, that will be great as well. I think that's about it.
And can follow us on Twitter as well.
Yes, follow us on Twitter.
Don't let the copy overflow. And happy 2021.
Yes, happy 2021.